Hello, everybody. It's Holger Müller here again with my co-host Martin Fischer talking about our topic of forever, basically. What is happening in SAP? Welcome, Martin.
Welcome, Holger. Yeah, the topic we both, or at least me, build our career on. I think your topics are a bit widespread in the meantime.
Yeah, it's not only SAP, it's all the ERP vendors, HCM vendors, all the enterprise software vendors. But SAP, as a market leader in ERP, of course, has a lot of our attention. We have three topics for you guys, right? There was a major reorg. There was the Q4 and full year earnings results. And then there's something happening this week, which I won't steal the thunder from. So three topics. Let's start with the reorg, Martin. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe we just should just say what we are talking about. So there was a press release, I think, on January 9th that there is a new board member on the SAP board. So another guy coming from Microsoft will take over the responsibility for the product area. His name is Muhammad Alam. Sorry.
No worries.
We are very bad with names. Sorry for that.
Yeah, no, that's why we're here, to correct ourselves on the names. Same for me. You get the next one.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not directly coming from Microsoft, right?
But no, he was
SAP for two plus years. Has done a good job on the spend management side. It was in charge, is in charge of all of spend management, right? Which is Ariba, Concur, and Fieldglass. So interesting move. Interesting. We haven't heard the nervousness from German customers that now a non-German person is in charge of product. Will they be understood? We'll see how that goes, right? That was always a concern in the past. He has kept a very low profile, Muhammad. So we'll see what he will do to get the European German customers' fears, which are always there for the right or wrong reasons. Let's not dive into that when there's a US person in charge, right?
So. Yeah, but I mean, for the main product, there's still Jan Gilk responsible for S/4HANA, right. So no big change there. And I think that's probably the main concern of that European.
Right, and that's part of the beauty of the reorganization. We haven't started from the top, we go from the bottom, right? So Jan Gilk, who's been doing S/4HANA since many, many years, stays in place. So that gives consistency and trust, I think, the same person to deliver what was promised to deliver. It also gives a good chance with Muhammad now being his new boss to get more spend management to SAP customers and probably better integration with S/4HANA, which was on the roadmap for a long time. But for a variety of reasons, again, would be a different podcast broadcast, it hasn't happened. But the big change is on the top, right? Thomas Sauer, I think, is no longer doing product, but he's doing basically all of delivery, right? All of support, consulting to get customers to upgrade to S/4HANA is with him, right? Including the ECC customers. And I think that setup hasn't been around. I think it's a good move to a certain point. When talking to Thomas before, he always loved to speak to customers and he's very good with customers. So now it's very clear if the S/4HANA numbers aren't there the next quarters, then, well, it's a problem for Thomas and not so much of the product, but we'll see.
Yeah, interesting thing I would say is also the name of his new board area. So it's called Innovation Adoption in the Cloud. And I think one of the main goals of this new position will be transforming S/4HANA and also Business Suite customers to one of the two cloud products, I would say. So rather either S/4HANA private or public cloud and sold in a bundle called Rise or Grow, I would say.
Yeah.
Another interesting reorganization happened. I think that was the same announcement. So all the AI topics also moved under Christian Klein's direct responsibility. Mm-hmm. And this area will be headed by Philipp Herzig, who was in the technology area till now, and they're responsible for cross-architectural and cross-technology integration topics, I would say. Don't know exact name of his title, but so he was responsible for the technology integration with a focus on BTP, I would say.
Right. Yeah, he was the demo guy, right? So any great demo at Sapphire the last 2, 3 years, it was Philipp Herzig on stage. I think he's a good executive. We'll see what he will do with AI because SAP also has a chief AI officer, Walter Sun, another Microsoft alum, if I mind correctly. So we'll see how and what that means. What is clear is, right, and that's also the main pitch from SAP for S/4HANA, right? For the classic ERP upgrade, the question has always been, is there enough value to move there, right? That's been the question for upgrading from mainframe to medium data range to client server to internet in the past. Now for SAP good customers, the question is, if I don't go to S/4HANA and the public cloud, the only product available there is S/4HANA, I will not be able to use AI. If that's AI coming from SAP, or if that's AI coming from third party, or they build themselves, who knows, right? The future will show. With that setup, I think by making it its own board area, working for the CEO, I think there's going to be focus on that, and we'll see how it will be delivered. It's also important because it may not come fully from SAP. SAP already has partnerships with all the major cloud vendors there. There's no question on that. But the association will be more independent from that perspective. So we'll see how that goes. And yeah, more people to take care of technology, right? Because all of a sudden there's two executives building product, right? And then not to do anything wrong to Mohammed Alam, right? He comes from the spend management area, not necessarily from the AI area. So maybe that's his motivation in the long run to get all of products at some point. Interesting reorganization, certainly.
Yeah, but and it also outlines the clear focus within the SAP strategy, moving customers to the cloud, and here in Europe, that's a big discussion. We covered that, I think, in several episodes already with the DSAG and press release last summer, for example. I think SAP is more than serious about that. It's also gonna be interesting how these conversations will move on. But that brings us already kind of to the next topic. There will also be incentives for the customers if they move from an on-prem S/4HANA or probably even from an S/4HANA which they run on a hyperscaler, but not within a RISE contract, that
Right.
they move towards RISE.
Yeah, so very interesting, right? ERP upgrades have always done some financial reengineering, crediting customers for past licenses, services, whatever, to get moving. The really interesting part here is that SAP has so far not done anything of that, right? So that shows that SAP has given up on doing what worked between R2 and R3, which always my poster child is, right? SAP customers wanted to have R3 because new technology of client server was so much more flexible, cheaper, more agile than the mainframe. They could do their rollouts in the different countries, give the French their French thing. They don't have to talk to them for one single mainframe solution, give the Italians their thing, give the Germans their thing, whatever. So it is clear that SAP management has realized they cannot create enough of a value proposition out of innovation S/4HANA to just make it a self-running upgrade that customers are saying, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, right? And now we see the first move of the financial engineering, and with all financial engineering, right, there's even scenarios where it's for customers, for ECC customers, that S/4 on-premise customers, that roughly half of the migration will be covered by that cost, right? So it's a strong incentive if the problem was paying for the migration, right? Which is the assumption here right now. So we will see how well that's done. I love to sail. I like maritime analogies, right? The question will be, will this just be another huff of wind for the people who are sailing already? And they say, all right, great, my sails are fully going. Or will this be an incentive for the people who have not even set the sails or are tied up in the harbor to say, wow, this is a great day for sailing towards S4. Will we set our sails? The future will be the proof will be the Q1 and Q2 results, as we said before. Yep. I don't hear you, Martin. Oh, here we go. You're back.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, some hiccup on my side.
No worries, real life, so
Yeah, that happens. No, I need to remember what I wanted to say. Okay, go back on track. So also one take on the AI side. Of course, everybody is talking AI, but I think we also already see that the hype is slowing a bit down to some extent, and people are asking also more on the use cases and the actual, I would say, gain in efficiency. There, sorry, I'm with John Reed to cite him here because he did a very good podcast also on the AI use case side.
Great, great person to follow, John Reed from Diginomica. If you don't know him, good friend, always a smart voice in general and specifically also to SAP, where he's been following for a long time.
Yeah. Right. And he said there are no business AI use cases which convinced him. And I'm with him. So generating job postings, well, isn't that much of an efficiency gain in the end. And the AI stuff.
Not if you're a hiring manager. It's a huge efficiency gain, right? It's not going to make your company to move and do that, right? But I would debate that with John, right? Covering the HR space, right? So getting better job postings is super important, and it's a great showcase of the technology. And it's a must-have feature for any talent acquisition or recruiting vendor already, right? So, yes.
Maybe we'll do an episode on AI use cases together with John.
but what is clear, right? What is clear, Martin, is all hell will break loose. If you think we saw a lot of hype around AI so far, it's going to be nothing. I expect orders of magnitude more when the solution is done between the transactional data and the current transformative technology, right? Because let's not forget, right now, this is great technology for everything which is written in text documents and so on. And that's a great benefit for the world because we have so much more data in text form than in transactional form. When this technology will be able to bring the two together, then we will see the real impact, right? So we're limited kind of like to document retrieval, document use cases, right? So definitely. Yeah. But talk to anybody who was to generate pictures, layout people and so on. They're very much worried. Look at the movie industry, the movies you can generate today. So where that works, there's definitely disruption already happening. Yeah. But
just look at the Copilot within PowerPoint and stuff like that. Amazing stuff happening there. Yeah. Fully with you. And I don't want to talk down.
Anyway, back to SAP. Back to SAP, right?
Back to SAP. Little sidetrack here. I think we covered the announcement pretty much. Then let's move over to the to the numbers.
To the running side, right? So I think SAP missed the biggest headline there, right? Because for the first time, I had reconfirmed for the first time, more than half of SAP revenue came from cloud. So it's by a little bit, only a few hundred millions or double digit millions. But I mean, this is an inflection point for SAP, who's been chasing cloud for a long time. And the combined cloud revenue, which contains support for cloud and so on. So you can look all that up if it's really revenue, whatever it can be discussed. But that metrics, which they've been reporting on since 2 or 3 years, it's the first time it reached 50%. And the predictable revenue, right? SAP was always like Q4 in terms of license on-prem, perpetual license sale was always a big thing. So 80% passed as a barrier too. So two reflection points. The bad news is of the 13 or so million coming from cloud, only about 3-something billion, I don't know the exact number, are coming from S/4HANA, right? And that number has to change in the long run, that S/4HANA needs to be 60-70% of the overall cloud revenue. And then the remaining 5 or 6 sisters, right, Qualtrics being gone, right, between SuccessFactors, Ariba, Hybris, whatever that's been called right now, Concur, and Fieldglass, right, 5 sisters right now, that will maybe 20-30% of cloud revenue, which is much, much more right now.
It's exactly 1 billion and, around the S/4HANA cloud revenue.
In Q4, right? For the year, it's 3 point something, right? So shows nicely the acceleration in Q4. But that's also the big question, because there's so much muscle memory inside of SAP customers that you get the best conditions in Q4. And the saying is, no, this is cloud. You don't get special deals. You can buy anytime. I still think there's muscle memory, traditional memory in the sales course with the customers, that Q4 was a big thing. So this is the big thing on my earnings view. Was it just a Q4 powered push, which is now going to be boosted and supported with the trade-in financial engineering offer around S4HANA on-premise customers and ECC customers to get a credit to migrate, which could boost that further. But we'll see in the Q1, Q2 results if SAP can sustain that level of cloud growth, which at the end of the day would be good news, right? So, but let's not misunderstand that. But first, you have to deliver 2-3 good quarters with that growth, which needs to happen still.
Yeah, but Christian, due to the podcast, I'm already watching press conferences of earnings. And I had the feeling that Christian Klein and Dominik Asam, the CFO, were pretty confident in their number and the way forward. And they were also, said that it's a success, the transformation they did over the last years. I mean, if you look at the numbers, I would say, okay, they have a point there. Seeing my daily talks to SAP customers and all the conversations happening, and the recent announcement about the financial engineering just proves that, customers are not convinced, on that way forward. And, I'm not sure if that's a good situation for SAP in general, if customers are not buying your product because they believe in the benefits they have, or they just buy it because they are more or less forced to it.
Which, to be fair to SAP, is a process in the software industry, right? End of maintenance dates have always been set, right? Which reminds me to our typical topic that 2027, no matter what SAP says, is not going to be a hard date anymore, right? We'll have that discussion later in the year, maybe latest next year, what it means for SAP customers there. Who will be longer on ECC. Definitely interesting times. But to me, it really comes back to, can we see the same number? And I think both Christian and Dominik are experienced executives. They will have poker faces. And let's not forget, right, it all gets easier. Given that SAP had a monster Q4, that subscription revenue is in Q1 already there, right? It's not like it has to be rerun, right? So with realistic growth expectations, they should have a good Q1, right? On the flip side, there's a lot of changes happening, right? The sales kickoffs, which are going on right now, have happened right now, might be different given that there's uncertainty on the delivery organization. The salespeople might not know how much is the delivery organization on Thomas Sauer has to affect my way, how I deal with the customer, because they're, of course, very proprietary, protective, and proprietary with the customers. We will see, right? So there's a lot of things happening, including, which was also unveiled with that, right? A reduction of 8,000 employees, I think it was. Usually justified these days at all the companies with changes in talent, which are definitely necessary, but it's really everybody trimming down for 2024, which is unfortunate for all the people involved. Sorry for those. I hope that there's going to be a good program that SAP has been generally there to make retirement and switching easy and find the next job. And I think there was something to find more jobs internally. And that will help SAP overall on the profitability number, which also needs to be improved. So we'll have an inbuilt automatic improvement there. The interesting thing is they justify that all that SAP is using AI. We're drinking our own champagne. That's what gets us there. But if I think of product, which is my main focus, is the code generator for AI, the code generators are there, or for product in general. That will be interesting to see if SAP has figured out a code generator for ABAP and for JavaScript tool and whatever the main parts in this are saying, hey, we don't need so many developer, but nobody's talking about getting rid of developers. Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, but in the German newspapers was written that they are also leveraging GitHub Copilot, so at least for the JavaScript part that truly works, and they don't know about, there was already at least an early prototype about the ABAP tool support, or I don't know how they called it, generative ABAP code generation.
That's great to see, right? I for all things maintain, you should be able to migrate your customizations from A to B, even changing languages, right? Given what you can do with AI. So to debate that with John Wheat when that comes out, if there's a business use case.
I would see a very big business use case in supporting customers with their S/4HANA transformation. I didn't see much activities and announcements in that area. So AI-based migration support or whatever, that would maybe also help a lot, because I think SAP could still improve on the migration tooling to make that easier and the business case way easier for the customers as well.
Yeah, and then there can be so many things done, which are lots of manual craftsmanship work. You change a process, you have to write the documentation, you have to write the training, you have to give the training. It's one size fits all, right? With the current generative AI capabilities, right? You can help on the coding, you can generate the documentation. You can also look like, hey, Holger is not an expert. He needs a full day training session. Martin from his Clickstream is an expert. We're just going to tell him what's changed. He needs 5 minutes, right? So I think there's got a tremendous potential for enterprise acceleration in the ERP implementation and operation cycle coming with generative AI. But we'll see who taps it first from all the vendors out there.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Thomas next topic.
What did we miss? Yeah, maybe that's something coming out of the new Thomas Auer Isaac area, right? Would be, maybe he's listening. Yeah. Cool.
We don't know.
We know we don't know.
Well, I think that's it. If we talk about
the short and sweet, this is our fastest episode. Do we recently had one, right? But this time we had time to prepare massively. So, quoting Mark Twain, sorry, I didn't have more time to write your short letter. Sorry, we had no time to send you a short podcast or a short video here. No, we didn't prepare too much either. So we're just getting better.
As usual. But the event season also already starts again. So next week, already in Germany, at least, German-speaking SAP market, the DSAG Technology Days, 2 days in Hamburg, actually, and a third day hands-on, compensating the loss of Tech at Europe, I would say, to some extent, at least. So, was kind of a short notice. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll give a hands-on workshop there together with Holger Bruchel from Microsoft about low-code, no-code, so Neptune and Microsoft together. Looking forward to the whole conference there. Hopefully there will be no railway strikes again, so that people are able to come.
Germany in turmoil, right? There are no question about that.
Yeah.
Good. And talking about changes of SAP, I took the historic Waldorf Building 1. There's a bunch of cranes and there's a gaping hole, right? This is becoming an SAP historic building here. We'll see when that's going to be reopened. But with that, I think if you liked what Martin and me have said here, or you don't like, or you don't agree, I think that's even more important, please leave a commentary. Please let us know what we missed, what we should talk about. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Right. Very well said. Okay.
And with that, all the best. See you guys soon, and take care.